You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Launching kids into the world is no joke, whether you're sending your kid to kindergarten or off to college. Some days we wonder if we're doing anything right. One thing is for sure, we all want to do it well. Hi, I'm Jamie, mom of four.
And I'm Lisa, mom of three. We're here to help and encourage you in your parenting journey. Never perfect, always honest, and in the trenches with you. We're experienced, but not experts. You ready?
Let's launch.
So my mom used to say to me when I was growing up, and honestly, Jamie, I don't remember when the first time I heard this, but she used to say to me, Lisa, I don't want you to be happy. I want you to love Jesus more than anything. And I thought, wow, that's, you don't want me to be happy? Like, yeah. I don't understand that. But I didn't understand that until I became a mother. And then when it really was solidified for me was, we were, I don't know, my kids were probably, they were stair step ages, and my middle was, I don't know, maybe four. And it was one Christmas, and we were sitting around the tree. I think it was a Christmas Eve. And I said to my kids, hey, what's your favorite ornament on the tree? And so they all kind of took their moment and walked around the tree to find their favorite ornament. And my middle son, who I would say has always been very tender, and in particular, tender to the things of the Lord. He walked around the tree, and I thought, oh, he's going to pick out the Buzz Lightyear ornament or whatever. And he reached up, and he pulled off the tree a cross. It was a cross ornament. And he handed it to me, and when he did, he began to cry. And, of course, I began to cry. I mean, my husband began to cry. You know? And it was in that moment, Jamie, I thought to myself, I just want him to love Jesus more than anything. And I get it. Like, I got it. I flash back to my mom saying, I don't want you to be happy, Lisa. I just want you to love Jesus. I thought, that's what I want. Here's why. And I get it now, and I realize why she said that. Because if the kid loves Jesus more than anything, they will be happy. Because that's the life. Right? And so I realized that that's the faith is what would make them happy, what would make me happy. So talking about faith today, talking about parenting with faith with kids, it's complicated.
It's so complicated. I remember I was interviewing Beth Moore on my podcast a couple of years ago, and she said she prayed for her kids, kind of like what your mom said. She prayed that more than anything, they would love Jesus, because everything else will work itself out.
So true.
And I have clung to that. I'm like, I want my kids to love Jesus, because everything else will work itself out. Like, we're trying to fight all these battles. Love Jesus and everything will work it out. I remember when one of my kids was younger, we had, he had come into big church with us for some reason, and would there were, I was tucking him in that night, and we were talking about church service. And I believe it might have been Easter or something, because the whole Jesus' death, burial, resurrection had been talked about that day, which you can talk about it more than just on Easter.
But it's not, not the only day that we talk about that.
And I remember tucking him in, and we kind of went through the whole thing. And I said, would you like to follow Jesus? I mean, do you see what he did for you? Do you want to give your life to him and follow him? And I literally was thinking, I'm about to have a moment. Like, the angels are going to start singing. I'm going to be able to tell Aaron, our kid is now a follower of Jesus. We're going to cheers each other before we go to bed. I mean, I was just thinking, this is it. This is the moment I've been waiting for. And I said to him, I said, do you want to follow Jesus? You want to give him your life, and do you want to follow him? And he looked at me and he said, I actually think I don't want to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
He said, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah.
No. Oh, me neither. Remember, yeah. I was waiting for the angels to start singing and the right. whole moment.
Right.
He said, I just don't think I'm ready for that.
Mm.
And I remember in the moment, I kind of had to sit there and take it in for a second because I'm like, well, thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
I also thought in that moment, Lisa, faith is so hard with our kids because yeah. we want them to love Jesus so with everything that we have.
Mm.
And the reason we want them to is because we know the abundant joy that there is.
Yeah.
We know the salvation that there is. Yep. We know eternity, is on the line. And so we know all these things. And of course, we want it for our kids. But also in that moment, I had to remember, my husband Aaron and I, we've made a commitment. We don't want our kids to just say they love Jesus because it will make us happy.
Mm.
We don't want them to just say, yeah, I'm a Christian so that my parents will, be happy with me.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of, that was a moment of loosening my grip on my kids' faith right there of going, well, here's what I know to be true. I can't save my kids.
Yeah.
I can't save my kids. Which on the flip side, you can't damn your kids either.
That's right.
And we'll talk about that a lot this whole season. But I can't save them. And I wanted so badly to be able to save him in that moment. And I couldn't. Today, millions around the world are suffering as a result of violence, oppression, and extreme poverty. Sometimes this endless cycle of suffering can feel overwhelming. If you're like me, you want to play a part in bringing an end to suffering. And at the same time, I think we all want our children to have a deeper understanding of the needs in the world and guide them towards becoming generous and compassionate adults. But sometimes it's hard to know exactly where to start and who to trust. That's why I'm super excited to tell you about The Path from our friends at World Relief. The Path is a community of bold, compassionate people of faith who are committed to fighting against suffering and injustice in pursuit of lasting change with their monthly gifts to World Relief. Whether it's a crisis in Ukraine, an earthquake in Haiti, or a wave of refugees from Afghanistan, you can trust that The Path community is already there, responding with the love of Jesus alongside you and your family and your children. Empowered by the monthly support from the Path community, World Relief is making a difference around the world, and you can be a part of it. You guys, I personally love the work that World Relief is doing with the Path community. I trust them and I believe in them, and I want to give you the opportunity to join as well. You can join the Path community of monthly givers by visiting worldrelief.org/launch. That's worldrelief.org/launch, LAUNCH. Launch your kids into life by leading them to love like Jesus. Join the path at worldrelief.org/launch today.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
I think that's so real. Also, when you were talking, what I thought about was the word disappointment came to my mind. And I think if there's a word that marks a lot of our faith journey with our kids, it's this expectation, but then disappointment because of how we've built it up, whether it be a moment or whether it be the package that we expect, that we hope. And listen, there's some great motives there. It's like, we know the life.
Yeah.
We know the future. No, we don't know the future. I don't mean that. But
no,
we know the promises
exactly.
of the future, right? You know what I mean? And so we want that for them. Of course, you want the ultimate abundant life for your kids. You want them to know Jesus. You want them to all those things. So there's the beauty of that.
Yeah.
But then there's this disappointment if it doesn't go in that way. And let me tell you something. I mean, so many parents have had disappointment with faith journeys. I think all of us to a degree, I'll be honest. And, I think back to my own experiences with my kids in this. And one of my fears was something that I voiced to my oldest son. I think he was a sophomore in high school, if I remember right. And I vivid memory I remember going into his bedroom, and I was worried at this point in time, Jamie, that his faith wouldn't be real.
Yeah.
And the reason why was because he went to a Christian school at the mm-hmm. time. You know, Christian home, mom's doing this ministry work yeah. full time, and you know, great church, all these things. And so I just thought, I don't want this to be about spiritual osmosis. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't right. want this to be about like my parents' faith, because I knew that's not going to be real.
Yep.
That's not going to help him in hard times.
Right, exactly.
And so I remember I said to him, I said, honey, you know what my biggest fear is? And he's like, what? And I said, my biggest fear is that you won't understand how amazing God is because you're just surrounded by God stuff all the time. Yeah. And he's a thinker, and he thought about that. And later on, we had kind of the conclusion of that conversation. And he said, you know, Mom, I get my faith stuff really at home mm-hmm. and with you guys, and it's not about school. Like, I yeah. look at that at school. Anyway, that wasn't the point. But the point was, I was worried yeah. about, would his faith be real?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the important point here mm-hmm. is that our kids' faith doesn't need to be our faith.
Yeah.
It needs to be their faith, yeah. right? And yeah. so what are we doing to make sure that their faith is their faith, mm-hmm. yeah. not our faith.
Yeah.
And we got to take our feelings out of that.
We have to take our feelings out of it for sure. And there are things that we can do. But like I said, everything that we can do that we'll give, like, here's some advice, here's some examples, none of that saves your kid.
Right.
That's what I think what the thing is. None of it saves your kid. And so for me, I'm like, man, how do I just point them to Jesus in conversations? How do I be an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus? How do I invite them into what we're doing as a family with loving Jesus? How do I talk about, you know, the scriptures say, you know, write it on your doorpost, talk about it day and night, when you walk, when you're awake, talk about the scriptures with your kids. And I think those are some things that we can do tangibly.
Yeah.
But I also think sometimes for me, I'm just like, I just want my kids to see me as a real person with highs and lows and good things and bad things and successes and failures, still depending on the source of my life, which is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God. And so inviting them into those things,
yes,
you know, is something that we can do that sometimes feels scary. You know, my husband's a pastor. I do Christian speaking and write Christian books and all the things that I do. And so there has been a fear for Aaron and I that our kids will actually hate church, hate God.
Yeah.
Because it's their parents' job in a way.
Which is a weird, that's a weird dynamic. I'm pastor's daughter.
It's a weird dynamic.
So I grew up on that side of it in the family.
Yeah.
So it is.
Yeah. It's a weird dynamic. And I understand everyone listening doesn't live in this dynamic, but we still have the fear that our kids aren't going to follow God, Jesus.
Right.
And so for us, it just feels magnified a little bit.
Yeah.
And we have really decided, I told you the story about one of my kids saying, no, I don't really want to follow Jesus. And he was 8, and he's changed his tune since then.
Yes, you know, praise God.
Following Jesus
now.
Yeah,
I love that.
But there is also, I want to talk to you about this, about how do we hold loosely our kids and their journeys? Because I look back at my faith journey, and almost everyone that I know's faith journey it changes over time.
Yeah.
And there is this lack of maturity as a child. And I, by no means, think that you don't have a real faith when you're 12, 7, 15.
Right.
Of course you can have a real faith.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I also know that there's maturity that comes as you get older.
Yeah.
You know? And so I look back at my own faith journey and I think, man, I grew up in church, going every week, a couple times a week, mm-hmm. and didn't really give my life to the Lord till I was 21.
Mm.
And so do I want that for my kids? Absolutely not. I went through a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
Do I trust that God is in control of their lives? I think so. I want to.
I mean, yeah. And the
yes.
And I mean, the thing is, what choice do we have?
That's exactly right. But we think we have a choice.
Yeah. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
I think we think somehow, hello, we talk about this all season, but it's this illusion of control.
Yep.
That we can somehow force them to have that relationship with God that we know is what's best for them.
Yeah.
We can do what we can do, and we should. We should have them you know, introduced to God at an early age. We should, you know, do all those things that nurture that relationship, yeah, and have them have a healthy view of church and all of those things that are so important. You know, the Bible, like all of that stuff. You know, I mean, here's the reality. I grew up in a pastor's family. I told you this, and I watched my dad preach Sunday after Sunday. Amazing. Uh-huh. And I loved God, Jamie, from the time I was six. I'm a rebel. Uh-huh. So like there, I had a sort of a wild relationship myself with the, yeah, Lord, but I loved him deeply. Yeah. But what I really wanted from my dad was not to watch him preach. I wanted him to come home and pray with our family. Mm. I didn't understand the dynamics of his job. I didn't understand, yeah, all the pressures he was under. I just wanted that real moment at home. And so I think, you know, there has to be grace on all sides to where we understand that our kids don't fully understand, yeah, everything that's happening. But it's like with all of the rest of our parenting. It is that vulnerability as parents to say, my faith journey isn't perfect.
Yeah.
I'm still growing. Yeah. But here's what I love. I love the Word of God. Yeah. It helps, you know, us. It helps guide us. I think one of the things that is hard for us as parents is not taking this faith journey of our kids personally.
Oh yeah.
Because again, we can always make everything about us as humans.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's all about me. Right. Yeah. Right. What have I done? It's, yeah, all about me. At the end of the day, your child is God's. Mm-hmm. He created that child. That child is not yours.
Yeah.
And he loves them more than you, which I know it's hard for us to fathom. We know it cognitively, but we've got to really, yeah, remember that.
Yeah.
And so as much as we can scramble and try and whatever, I mean, forcing it's never going to work.
Right.
But we also can't take it personally when they do walk away,
yeah,
if they do,
yeah,
walk away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the messages I get the very most and the emails I get very most is from parents who say, my child has walked away from the faith. Yeah. What can I do? What, yeah, did I do wrong? All of those, mm-hmm, things. And I just want to release somebody from that,
totally,
right now, because, yeah, I feel like that's a burden too big to carry.
Yeah.
We can't go back, even if there were things we could change.
Yeah.
And so I think it's real important to just be honest and vulnerable. I will also say, along the way in the faith journey with our kids, I do think it's important not to assume that they're just doing great with, mm-hmm, God and like everything's great, or that they don't have questions. And so don't assume, but that's across the board, whether it be faith or whatever.
Yeah.
Have the open dialogue, mm-hmm, ask questions.
Yeah.
And let's talk about this for a minute. And, you know, this season we do a whole show on comparison, mm-hmm, so we'll kind of dive into,
yeah,
that. But one thing too that I want to plan on for just a second here is this idea of comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know for me, there have been times when I've looked at other people's kids and I've thought, that kid is such a spiritual giant.
Oh my gosh.
And my kid, I'm not sure they read the Bible.
I don't know if they know where a Bible is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my gosh. Lisa, one time I was speaking at an event and the speaker, who will nameless.
Yes.
But we love her.
Yes.
She's adorable.
Absolutely.
She had some of her kids with her.
Mm-hmm.
And those kids were around the same age as some of my children who were not with me. And I had already done my thing and I was backstage, side stage, and the speaker was about to go on and preach. And one of her kids came up to her and prayed over her before she walked on stage.
Whoa.
And I was standing there like, I don't even know if I know Jesus right now, because I don't know what kind of mom I am. And so in that moment, you know, we can laugh about it, but I really did have to fight the, like,
yeah,
she is a really good mom because look at her kids.
Mm.
And that's where I went. I didn't go to like, oh, her kid is awesome. I said, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Because look at her kids. And if I was awesome, my kid would be doing that.
What did I do wrong?
What have I done wrong?
Yes.
And so that comparison was so thick in my
yes,
heart at that,
yes,
moment.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, I never thought about it till right now. I wasn't comparing our kids.
Wow.
I was comparing me as a mom to her.
Yes.
And I automatically assumed she spends more time with them. She taught them to read the Bible more. She did all these,
right,
things that I feel like a failure in.
Mm.
And so we do that a lot with other, you know, moms. But I'm also thinking right now, I have four kids, you have three kids. I compare their own journeys to each other.
I
Hey y'all, Jamie Ivy here. I had my first child graduate from high school last year. I know it's crazy, but it was so much fun. And it was actually so much fun helping him navigate college. I loved going on school visits with him. I loved talking to him about what he was interested in. I loved going and visiting my former university that I graduated from with him. And I will admit, at some points, as fun as it was, I started to feel a little overwhelmed. I want to tell you about something in case you are in this boat. Maybe you have a junior or you have a senior, which I have two juniors right now, so I will be doing this again quite soon. But if you have a student with college on the horizon, I want to tell you about a new website to check out. FindYourChristianCollege.com. Find Your Christian College was created by the North American Coalition for Christian Admissions Professionals as a helpful resource for your college search process. The organization collaborates with hundreds of Christian colleges and universities across North America to promote Christian higher education. When you visit the website, you can explore more than 225 Christian college options through the school search engine, filtering search results based on things like size, location, majors, athletics, and more. You can also find and register to attend one of over 125 in-person Christian college fairs across the U.S. These fairs take place each fall and spring, and if you can't travel, there are virtual college fairs too. Also available at findyourchristiancollege.com is a free must-have online resource called The Guide to Christian Colleges and Universities. Help your student to follow their path, further their education, and find their future. Find out more at findyourchristiancollege.com/launch. That's findyourchristiancollege.com/LAUNCH.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room. Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
I compare their own journeys to each other.
Yes.
You know, like I've got, I'm not going to tell my kids' business, but some of them like are in leadership positions.
Yes.
With faith things. Some of them are like, do I have to go to church today? Mm-hmm. Some of them have said to us, I don't want to go to church. Mm-hmm. Some of them have said, you know, I have a mentor and we're reading our Bible together. You know, some of them have devotionals that they do. It's just across the board different. And they've got the same two parents.
Yes.
And that's hard too, to not be like, you know what? How come this kid seems to be more mature in their faith and this kid doesn't, and they have the same home that they've grown up in?
Well, and part of that might be their ages, because 100%. As we know, yep. Like, okay, I'm sorry, but at 12 and 13 year olds, they're not going to be spiritual giants,
right?
And I think sometimes the expectation is a tiny bit ridiculous, yeah, on our part, yeah, as parents.
And also, it could be girls and boys.
Right, girls and boys. Yeah. Gender is sometimes an issue there. Also, personality differences.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, some of my kids are more private,
uh-huh,
about their relationship with God.
Yeah.
And some are more overt, yeah, about it. And I think it just all depends on where they are,
yeah,
age-wise, where they are, even spiritual maturity-wise. And so I absolutely think that it plays into it.
Yeah.
And so I guess what I would say here is not reading into or taking symptomatically, and again, this is going to take Holy Spirit and wisdom and all these things, discernment, to see, are they really in a place where we need to have a little bit of intervention, like, yeah, a conversation about it and say,
yeah,
hey, how can I help?
Yeah.
And, or are they just in a place where we just need to pray, mm-hmm, quietly pray? And I will say, I think one of the things that has been helpful,
yeah,
for my kids, especially my boys, mm-hmm, who have talked to me less about everything,
yeah,
because, oh, that's, yeah, just boys in general, uh-huh, is making sure that they were provided with a tool that they had when they were ready, if they wanted it. And so that they, that was never the excuse.
Yeah.
Like, I just never wanted them to have the excuse, well, I didn't have a devotional.
Right.
So I always, whether it was Christmas or whatever, I would always get them a fresh devotional.
Me too, yeah.
That was age appropriate. Yeah. That looked interesting. Uh-huh. Like, what kind of, what was their interest and what was something that would match that?
Yeah.
And have that ready for them. And the interesting thing was, at the time, they might not have even seemed like they cared that much.
Right.
Like, that was the Christmas present they opened. They went, oh, thanks. And yep. they threw it to the side right. for their shoes they
yeah,
got.
Uh-huh.
Right. But later, they would come to me at some point maybe and say, oh, Mom, I need a new devotional. Like, I had that happen a couple times.
Yeah.
Or I could just tell it was well loved
yeah.
by their bed.
Uh-huh.
You won't always know.
Yeah.
And so don't assume yeah. either way.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We want to launch them into a faith of their own.
Right.
And I will tell you, Jamie, and I don't know about you. I mean, your family does a lot of things together. We have a lot of togetherness mm-hmm. in our party of five as well. Now party of six.
Yes.
There's been a big difference for me. The times that I've gone away and done ministry when they haven't been a part of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it hadn't
for
been
sure.
possible.
Yeah.
And come back and told them about
yeah.
it. Versus when we did it together.
Yeah.
You know, and because when we launched a church together and they were folded, you know, putting up chairs
yep.
and they were serving in, mm-hmm. you know, in our community
yeah.
with us, like that was a faith shaper.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to include your family in what you're doing. Don't just assume like, oh, well, this is just an adult ministry.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. As much as they can see, for sure. I've had the privilege of traveling around with some organizations that do ministry around the world. And in the past couple of years, I've made kind of a commitment, like, I will say yes to this and if I can bring one of my kids.
Mm.
And that's been really helpful for them to see people giving their lives away for the gospel. And I think that has been really, really good. Another thing that we've done, and again, we've only done this with one kid because we only have one kid of this age. We kind of made this commitment that when our kids started their junior year, that, you know, before that time, Aaron and I were going to diligently pray and ask God to bring a mentor into their life.
Mm.
Someone who is not just like going to help them like be cool and like read books together, but someone who has a strong faith, who's going to be saying the exact same things that we're saying.
Yeah.
Because I think that's so important with our kids' faith journey as well, is that it doesn't just feel like this is just Mom and Dad talking to me like this, but also you've got Alex or Deshaun or Lynn or whoever is saying, here's what I want to talk to you about as well. They read the Bible together. They pray together. They
yeah.
talk through big things. And so, we ask them, will you commit to 3 years, to the last 2 years of high school and the first year of college to mentor our kid? And so far, we're doing it. And it's like something for me as a mom that feels like another tool in my tool belt to parent my kids.
So good.
Because it takes a village, you know? And
yeah.
so you may take your youth group, it may take someone at your church, but to bring someone on, so letting your kids see what you're doing, bringing them along in your life, and then inviting someone into their space as well.
That's so good. You know, it's a biblical model.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, like you said, a relief for the parent. It's
yeah.
also giving someone an opportunity that's younger than you, but
yeah.
older than your kids to be a mentor.
Yeah.
Like that's
it's
a
discipleship.
This is a whole, yes,
this
it's
is
a
discipleship
whole spiritual
101.
Process.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of all this, when I think about faith, when I think about this whole conversation, you know, I think about Jesus first.
Mm.
I think about Colossians 1, 17 and 18, where it talks about how in all things he would be preeminent.
Yeah.
I think about that for us, Jamie, as parents, because as we put Jesus first,
yeah.
that is something that we show our kids. It also creates a tone in our families. And that is such a gift that we model. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it's working. Sometimes we don't see immediate fruit in our children, but I can tell you they're paying attention. And as we model that, then we also then teach our kids, hey, in your life, here's how your life will work. You put Jesus first.
Yeah.
And then happiness, joy, fulfillment, love, success, and life.
Jen Wilkin is an author and Bible teacher from Dallas, Texas. She has organized and led studies for women in home, church, and parachurch contexts. An advocate for Bible literacy, her passion is to see others become articulate and committed followers of Christ with a clear understanding of why they believe what they believe, grounded in the Word of God. We wanted Jen to speak to us about this issue of faith because we trust her and her knowledge of what God says about it, as well as her life experience as a mom. Jen has raised four pretty awesome kids, and she's paid her dues in the mom department. So we're glad that she's here today to speak to us about this topic.
Hi, I'm Jen Wilkin, and here are a few things that jumped out to me in Jamie and Lisa's conversation. First, I loved how they talked about wanting to have proximity to other Christians and specifically to mentors, other adults who are trusted who can sort of triangulate the message with our kids. And I say absolutely to that. That is solid gold, even though it's frustrating when you hear your kids coming home and telling you some amazing truth that they just learned from someone who's not you, and you 100% know that you have said it to them many times before. But that's a really great thing to happen, and it's really good to be able to locate people who are trusted adults who can spend time around your kids, who can reinforce a lot of the things that you have been trying to help them to understand for all of their childhood. I think another group that we really wanted our kids to have proximity to, in addition to other believers, is, believe it or not, unbelievers. We wanted to make sure that our kids came into contact with people who didn't believe what we believed, whether that was because they were functionally secular humanists or they were parts of another religion. We wanted our kids to not just know people who had different beliefs than we had, but be actual friends with them. And so whether it was a worldview difference or an actual religion difference, we wanted that to be a human issue for our kids versus just like a category of people. Because I just know when I was growing up in the church, it was like people who didn't believe what we believed were somehow less than us or maybe not as smart as us or something like that. And we just really wanted our kids to think of the lost people that they knew as people that they loved and cared about, people that they thought had a good sense of humor, or people that they liked their sense of style, like just the typical normal human overlap that we have with other people. We didn't want them to think of unbelievers as just a category. They needed to be human beings with flesh and bones and emotions and real struggles and real wins in their lives. So I think especially for those of us who are really involved in our churches, we can get head down in the Christian bubble. And it's very important from our view, Jeff's and mine as parents, that the kids were around people who thought and believed differently than we did so that we could have good, respectful dialogue with them, the unbelieving friends, but also good, respectful dialogue about them and their beliefs within our home. So it just opened up a lot of opportunities for discipleship for us. Lisa made the point, our faith can't be their faith, and I think that's so important. We do feel like we have to get ahead of this and say all of the right things, give them all of the right statements so that they can have the same thought out faith that we have. But what I've learned through the years of parenting is that anytime a conversation begins with a child around a matter of faith, I don't want to respond to a question with a statement. I want to respond to a question with another question. Because so often I would project onto the child what I thought was the question that they were asking regarding their faith, when in fact it might be coming from a completely different place for them. And so asking a question in return to a question about faith changes the way that the child perceives your role in the conversation. Rather than you being the expert who's communicating to the amateur what it is that they should think, you're drawing them into a dialogue so that you can have a back and forth. That way they're forming their own thinking versus just simply receiving your thoughts. It can be really tempting as parents to just keep telling our kids things, and that devolves pretty quickly into a lecture or a monologue. And monologues are not something that hold our interest for very long. They don't require any participation on the part of the child. So obviously I'm talking about kids who are, you know, like, let's say mid to late elementary, kids who are capable of holding a conversation with you about any topic, are capable of holding a conversation with you about matters of faith. But conversations are two-way. And when we respond with questions instead of with answers, sometimes what we're communicating is just a great interest in knowing what they think. But also sometimes we respond with questions, and then when they follow up with a question, we still have to say, yeah, I don't actually know the answer to that. And that's also a really good thing for our children to witness. You don't want to present to your child a picture of absolute certainty as an adult person of faith. You want them to know that you too have things that you don't yet know, or things that you feel doubt around, but that that sense of not knowing or that sense of doubt does not supersede your faith, that you still have a deep and abiding trust in the Lord. They're going to need that witness. They're going to need to know that what it looks like to be a full-grown adult who follows Christ is not that we have absolute certainty and that everything is clear to us, but that we have some things we know certainly and other things that we're trusting the Lord on and walking in humility around. I think that we can sometimes respond to our kids with the attitude of, I have an answer for every question, or I have a spiritual habit that I can tell you that can make you holy or make you righteous. And instead, if we humble ourselves and enter into the conversation, certainly from the place of authority of a parent, but also as a co-learner, as someone who's also a disciple, and saying, I don't know the answer. Let's see if we can find out together. I loved what Jamie said about Deuteronomy 6. She said that our example is powerful. I cannot amen that enough. I know that for all of the accurate words that Jeff and I tried to put around spiritual conversations, far and away the most important factor in shaping our kids' spiritual journey while they were in the home was that they witnessed the two of us enjoying having conversation about topics of faith together. They witnessed us doing that with our friends. And not only that, we made it a point when appropriate to include them in those adult settings so that they could see this is what it looks like. You don't just want your children to be in faith conversation settings with their peers. The youth group plays an important function for them, but it's really good to have them in settings where families are together talking about issues of faith, or where they see you with other adults really hacking through some ideas together, laughing your way through it, agreeing to disagree, wondering, pausing, searching the scriptures. All of those things are really helpful witness for them. Your kids are going to know whether you are telling them to do something that you yourself are not really doing. And it's in those moments of transparency where they see you in natural cycles of friendships with other believers that they begin to understand that to be a part of the body of believers is such an important function of their faith. Too often we over-message to our kids their personal relationship with the Lord. And so it might be that we're like, you should have a quiet time. But it's when we are in conversation with other believers about the deep things of the Lord that the work that we do in our individual moments really starts to come alive. So that would just be a parting thought that I have. And that is that we don't want to overemphasize personal relationship. No one is saved just into a personal relationship with the Lord. We are all saved into relationship with Him and thereby into fellowship with one another. So we can give our kids a picture of what that fellowship looks like, a true picture in the way that we interact with other believers, and we can give them a pattern for it. And then we can help them to be around peers and mentors who can actually be that for them.
Launch is a production of Ivy Media Podcasts. Executive producer is Jamie Ivy. Produced and edited by Angie Elkins. Art by Noel Rhodes. Original music by Matt Graham. Your co-hosts are myself, Jamie Ivy, and Lisa Whittle. Thank you for listening.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Ah! Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.